So today we're going to wrap up our Worth Saving series. And through this series, we've been talking about the Great Commission. We've been talking about go into all the world, preach the gospel, go and make disciples of all nations. And this hasn't been a how-to series. It's been more of an attitude check about evangelism in our lives, because we found out in a survey that Lifeway did about a year ago, it said that 80% of all Christians believe that it is their responsibility to share the gospel, and that they are comfortable in doing so. But we found that only 20% are actually doing it. And so we asked the question, why? And so this has kind of been a self-reflective series as we've looked into our own attitudes and our own motivations when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we've asked questions like, do I truly value people? If I value people, then I'm going to give what is valuable to me to the people that I value. And I believe that the gospel is the most valuable thing that we have, and so we should be sharing the gospel. We ask the question, do I see people as worthy of my time to invest in them? And I believe that we see in the life of Jesus that he invested his life in other people. I mean, that's what his entire life was giving of himself in order for other people's lives to be able to experience God in a real way. And we asked the question the third week, do we have prejudice in our life that stops us from sharing the gospel with particular people? Because I believe that the gospel is for everybody. That we don't discriminate on who we give the gospel to. You know, we saw that Jesus went to the Samaritans with the good news of the Messiah coming. And so last week we kind of looked inwardly and we asked the question, do I feel worthy of sharing the gospel? Do I feel that I have what it takes to share the gospel? And we figured out that God made us worthy. It's not about my life and what I do, but it's about who God made me to be. And God looks at me as worthy. And so despite my shortcomings, despite my failures, that he's made me worthy to share his gospel and his love to people. And so today I kind of want to end our series on an encouraging note. This is kind of one of those go get 'em team. You know, we're gonna send you out and we want you to be excited about going out and sharing your faith with other people. And so today we're going to be looking into Matthew chapter 14. And this is the story of Jesus walking on the water. And I've always loved this story because it's one of those really cool stories about how awesome God is. You know, that he was able to walk on water. And, you know, how he encouraged Peter to step out of the boat and do the same thing. And so I want to read this to you, this story. And then I want to go back and talk to you about it a little bit. This is Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 is where we're going to start. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the other people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land. A strong wind had arisen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified, and in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called out to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus says. So Peter went over the side of the boat, and he walked on water towards Jesus. But he saw the strong wind and the waves, and he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. And I love, this is a cool little story. And this is actually our background up here. This painting is actually in Pastor's office, and I've always loved this. It's this is the gospel right here. You know, Jesus reaching out to fallen man and saving him and pulling him back up. And so I was excited to actually get to today because we get to talk about what Jesus did with Peter here. But to truly understand this story, I want to go back and do a little setup on this and talk about what happened right before this story happened. If we go into Matthew 14, and we're not going to read all of this, but I just want to kind of give you the background of what's going on. See, at the beginning of chapter 14, Jesus finds out that John the Baptist was just beheaded. Now, John the Baptist, he was the man who baptized Jesus. He was the prophet in the wilderness crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. And so John the Baptist was someone who was near and dear to Jesus. And so we see that, the story play out of how John the Baptist was beheaded. And in verse 12 it said, later John's disciples came and got the body and buried it. And they went and they told Jesus what had happened. And so Jesus is just finding out about what happened. And it says in verse 13, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. And this is one of those moments we see the humanity side of Jesus, in that he got this heartbreaking news about John the Baptist, and he wanted to go off and grieve and be by himself. And I mean, his disciples went with him, but they jumped in a boat immediately, and he was like, I got to get away. You know, I got to get out of here. And it's funny, you know, what happens with Jesus all throughout the gospel is like, wherever Jesus went, you know, people had heard about this guy who's walking around and healing people and doing miracles. And so wherever Jesus went, people flocked to him. I mean, they followed him everywhere. And so in this, we see that, you know, Jesus is trying to get away from from everybody, go into a remote area. And as he went over there, the people around that area heard, and so they came out to the remote area with Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus saw the crowd and was moved with compassion, and he began to heal their sick. And so he went immediately and started to minister to the people. Now, they're in the remote mountains. They're way out here, and the disciples are like, hey, you know, it's getting dark. You know, people haven't eaten. We don't have any food. Maybe you should send the people back out into the villages so they can get some food. And this is where we have the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. You know, they take the five loaves, two fishes, they bless it, and they give it to everybody and take up 12 basketfuls. And so this kind of sets up the story where we're at. Verse 21 says about 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and the children. Verse 22, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that the disciples go back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. Now, this lake that they're talking about here is not like a lake that we have around here. This is the Sea of Galilee. Okay, they call that a lake over there, I guess. I don't know. But it's about 7 miles wide. And so let's think about this a second. They find out John the Baptist had been beheaded. This all happened in the same day. He found out that John the Baptist was beheaded. So they jump in a boat and they go across the Sea of Galilee to get away from people. And so they get there, they go up in the mountains, and people show up and they minister all day long, healing people and doing ministry. And it says it was getting evening time. And so they're trying to send everybody home, but they fed the 5,000. You know how long it takes to feed 5,000 people? Some of you John 3:16 guys probably know how long it takes to feed 5,000 people, but I don't know. But it's not an easy thing to do. And so they feed the 5,000 men plus women and children, so it was more than 5,000. And it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go back across the Sea of Galilee again. Don't you know they were a little bit tired by then? I mean, it's been a long day. I mean, you find out one of your good friends is dead. And so you row 5, 6, however many miles across to get away. And then you minister all day, and now you're heading back. And the Bible says that it's 3 a.m. when the storm hits. Now, one thing that I've learned is that ministry is exhausting. Missions is exhausting. Any of you who've been on a mission trip know what it's like. You know, you go out and you minister all day, and you know, you get back and you're just like ready to crash. Now, and I'm going to tell some stories today. Today's kind of a story kind of day, right? And so one of the stories from our last trip that I love was the day that we went to San Juan. Now, San Juan is the most remote village that we go to and down in Honduras. And so just kind of give you an idea of how far out this is. You land, you know, you travel one day, you land in the capital of Tegucigalpa. All right, it's about a 3-hour drive from there to the first stop that we go in a city called Catacamas. We'll stay the night there, then we'll drive about another 3 hours up into the mountains to Campamento Viejo. And from there, we base all of our ministry out of. And San Juan, what you do have to do to get to San Juan is you get in the back of pickups. How many of y'all grew up riding in the back of pickups, running the dirt roads? I mean, that's what we do in Honduras. We get in the back of pickups and we go places. And so, you know, you pile about 8-10 people in the back of a pickup truck. Has a bar across of it so you can hang on to it. And we go down this gravel road, and it's a good 2 or 3 hour drive down this gravel road. Okay, you get to a certain point, and you have to get out. You unload all your stuff, all the stuff you're going to take in. We took in food bags and two bales of clothes. You know, we have some donkeys that help us carry stuff in, but we're packing everything in. We hike probably about a mile and a half, 2 miles back into the village. All right? And so we're in the village, and we have to play our customary game of soccer, you know, to kind of loosen things up. How many soccer fans we got out there? Whoa, there's a lot more first service. Hey, you need to go to Honduras. We played soccer the team played soccer every day in Honduras. I did not. We won't go into that, but anyway. And so we played our customary game of soccer, and then we, you know, hanging out with the kids, you know, playing with them, did our ministry time, handed out our food bags, handed out clothes. We got a quick bite to eat, and we packed it back out. You know, the mile and a half, two miles back to the trucks. We get in the back of the pickups, and we're driving, and about halfway there, a storm hit us. Now, in Arkansas, we would call this a gully washer. I mean, this is one of those, it rains, and all of a sudden, it's just flooding. I mean, just that quick. It was one of those kind of rains, and it rained on us for an hour and a half as we're in the back of these pickups. And all I could do, I was sitting in the back of the pickup, and I was sitting in this position, had a coat over me, and just sitting, waiting for the rain to stop, because that rain hurt. I mean, it was those big raindrops that smack you, feel like a bird hit you in the face or something. And so for an hour and a half, I mean, we were just hunkered down in the back of pickups, riding and just praying, like, God, hurt, like, speed us up here, you know, get us back. And so we get there, you know, our boots are full of water, and we're just sopping wet. And at that point, we got to take our showers, our bucket bath, and go to bed. Now, I couldn't imagine at that point someone says, like, okay, now what we're going to do, we're going to jump in some rowboats. We're going to go about 5 miles across this lake, you know, to the next place we're going. I mean, the disciples were exhausted at this point. I mean, they were tired. I mean, they went across the lake once, did ministry, fed 5,000 people, and they were heading back. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and the storm hit. Now, this just sounds like life, doesn't it? One thing that I've noticed is storms never hit at a good time. Like the storm hardly ever hits when you're already at home, and you know, you're in your PJs already, and the fire's going, and you're sitting there. The storm usually doesn't come then. It usually happens when you're in the middle of work and you're outside, and the storm hits you. It never comes at a convenient time. And so the disciples, they're tired. They're rowing this boat for miles. In the book of John, it tells us that they are 3 or 4 miles into their journey of rowing across the Sea of Galilee when the storm hit. And so they're exhausted, they're tired, and I don't know about you, but when I get tired, I start seeing things. Like, weird things start happening around me for some reason. You know, it's like you're hearing voices, you're seeing things, and they look up and they see this thing walking towards them, and they're like, it's a ghost. Yeah, I'm sure they're in their mind, they're just like, man, we're about to die. I mean, we're done. I mean, this is the end. We're done for. But Jesus calls out. He says, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. In the original language, it actually says, the I am is here. Now, I love that. Because if you look into the Old Testament, when God reveals himself to Abraham and to a lot of these people, he refers to himself as the I am. I am. And so when he shows up, he says, the I am is here. Don't you know God always shows up at the right time? It's usually like in the middle of that storm when things just feel like, I mean, you're just like, man, it's over, man. We're done. I mean, unless God shows up, oh, there he is. And God shows up at the right time. And that's what he did in this storm. In fact, in another version of this story, the Bible says that he looked and he saw that the disciples were in trouble. And so he goes out to them in that moment. And that's just what God does. When we're on mission for him, know, lots of times it does get exhausting. It does get tiring. But it's amazing how God always shows up at the right time, in the middle of the storm when you don't think things could get any worse. But when we go on a mission trip, we kind of give the same spiel every time, and we usually do it before, you know, while we're talking about it. We talk about when we first get to where we're going, and about halfway through we have to remind people of this. And some of the things that we talk about is that, you know, when you're on a mission trip, you know, you need to expect the unexpected. Now, I know that doesn't make sense because you can't expect something that's not expected, but you never know what God is up to. See, one thing that we've learned is that God is always at work, and we just need to join in His work. See, we don't go on a mission trip to be the savior of a village or a person. We're not called to be the savior, but we are called to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And so we just need to figure out what God's doing, and we need to hook up with that and let God work through us. And so on a mission trip, that's one of the things we talk about. You know, hey, we need to be ready. You know, when God tells us to do something, we need to be ready to do it. You know, we don't have time to, you know, do the pros and cons list, weigh it out, say, well, if I do this. When it's time to do it, we do it. You know, no matter what it is. And that's what we say, like, when we're out in the villages, whatever needs to be done, let's do it. You know, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, digging a ditch. There's times we've been driving down the road and we have to jump out of the back of the truck and build a little bridge just so we can keep going. You know, and you just jump out and you do it. You know, you're not worried about your clothes. You're not worried about this. I mean, you do what you have to do in the moment to get what needs to be done. And so, you know, be ready to do whatever. And we say, you know, be ready to get out of your comfort zone. Because when you're on a mission trip, there is no comfort zone anymore. I mean, your comfort zone is your house and your bed, and you fix your meal when you're ready for it. When you're on a mission trip, you might have a bed. It's probably not going to be very comfortable. You're probably not going to have air conditioning. You're probably not going to have hot water. You're probably not going to have running water. And so, like, comfort zone is, like, not even existent in this space. And so we warn people, like, be ready to be uncomfortable. You're going to get tired. You're going to get angry. You're probably going to get hangry, too, while you're out there. That's why you bring snacks on a mission trip. You're going to get upset with somebody. But here's the thing. We got to remember what mission that we're on, that we're on a mission for Jesus, and we're representing Jesus Christ while we're here, and so we need to rally around that and forget about what makes me uncomfortable and just do what needs to be done in the moment. And so, and that's what we are. We are on a mission for God. And we need to think of ourselves on a mission trip wherever we go. See, we get so used to our comforts here at home. We're so used to our, you know, this is my truck, and this is where I keep my stuff. And we get so comfortable with stuff when we really need to realize that, you know, really, I just need to be ready. For whenever God tells me to do something, I'm ready to go. And that's what we have to do. And I remember the first night on our mission trip this past summer, and we were having this exact speech. We were talking about, you know, you need to be ready. You know, if God tells you to pray with something, go pray with them. You know, you might not have ever prayed with someone out loud, but the good thing about going on a mission trip is, like, most likely they don't speak the same language as you, so they don't know what you're saying anyway. And so you can just pray without that pressure of them, like, why didn't you pray that, you know? And so, and, you know, step out and let God use you. If you're not comfortable doing that, do it anyway. And it's amazing what God will do in your life. And so we're having this conversation. We're staying at a hotel there, and we're actually down in the garage part on the ground floor, and we're preparing for the next day. We're making bags and stuff to hand out in the trash dump the next day, and we get that done. So we sit down, and we're just kind of talking, like, hey, this is what to expect. This is what's going on. You know, be ready, because, you know, when you step in a trash dump, and there's people that living and work there, there's about 600 people that live and work in this trash dump, I mean, it breaks your heart. I mean, that's probably the hardest thing that we do on our mission trip is to step in there and see these people, and you just want to give them everything. You're like, let me give you my shirt, my wallet, I mean, whatever. Let me give it to you. Let me get you out of here. But we've got to realize that we're not the Savior, and that it's not our job to go save those people, but it's my job to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And if He asks me to give someone my shoes, I'll do it. If He asks me to pray for somebody, if He asks me to go play with the kids, whatever, I'm going to do that. And so be ready to do that. And so here we are talking, having this conversation, and this guy just kind of walks in off the street and kind of joins our group. I'm sitting here thinking, what's this dude doing? I mean, what's his story? What's going on with him? But I see him standing over there with one of the guys who's running the trip. So I thought, okay, he's got this under control. And so as we're talking about this, you know, I just feel God kind of preparing me for this moment. Because at the end of that meeting, we said, this guy just walked in off the street. He's been here for 30 minutes. Like, we're talking English here. You know, he has no clue what we're talking about. But dude just walks in off the street and just joins us. And so we're like, hey, this guy walked in and off the street. We're gonna pray for him here in just a second. And I want you to be open to, you know, if God wants you to pray for him, you do it. You know, and so when we're done, we say, hey, brother, what's going on? And I didn't say that because I can't speak Spanish. But anyway, and so he begins to tell his story. He said, I was going to eat with my son at the Chinese restaurant next door. I come by this hotel room, and I was just drawn in. I just was drawn in. So I don't know why I'm here. I was just drawn to this group of people. I told my son to go get some food and get in the car and go home, and I'll come home later. And so here I am. And so, you know, he begins to tell his story, how he grew up in church and how, you know, he loved God and he felt, you know, God's call in his life and everything. But some things happened and he got out of church and he ended up getting married and starting a family. And, you know, he has, you know, 3 or 4 kids now and he doesn't attend church. But he knows, you know, that's down on the inside of him. He knows that that's where he needs to be. And he said, I just need God today. And we're just all sitting here like going, okay. You know, it's just like, and so we began to pray with him. And so, you know, we started praying for him. And I was amazed at how God would ask this person to go pray for him and say this certain thing. And this other person came in and encouraged him. And about 20 minutes, we were praying for this man and speaking into his life. And at the end, I mean, he was just broke down, just bawling. And he said, this is just what I needed. And he began to tell us about the calling that God had on his life and how God had a certain thing for him to do it in the church. And he said, you know what? I've given my life back to Christ now, and I'm going to go and find my church, and I'm going to get involved, and I'm going to do my ministry. Thank you for being here. And we're just like, you know. And at that moment, I was just like, okay, God's preparing us for something big here now. And so, I mean, it was just like this random thing that happens. But here's the thing. When it comes to being on a mission, you got to be willing and ready to minister whenever God says go. When that opportunity comes up, we've got to be ready. And that's what we were in that moment. We were on a mission trip, and that's why we were there, yes. But what about in our everyday life? When you go to Walmart, are you ready to minister to somebody? Are you ready for when God speaks that in a still small voice into your ear and tells you to go do something? Are you ready at that moment? See, we need to be living on ready for when God says, go. See, we don't have time to debate and to think and to pros and cons. And I'm a pros and cons guy. I mean, it's ridiculous for me to make a big decision on things because I'm like, okay, let's write a list. I drive Miranda crazy. Let's make a list, okay? Let's see if this is going to be worth it. I mean, that's me. But see, when it comes to the things of God, I don't need to be that way. I need to be, okay, God, let's do it. Immediately, ready to go. Are you ready to step out of the boat? I mean, this is a crazy scene with Peter. You know, Jesus is walking. I mean, they're tired, they're exhausted, and they see this guy walking toward him like it's a ghost. And Jesus said, the I am is here. And he's like, Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come out and walk on the water with you. He's like, all right, come on. Now, I would have to be really exhausted to be able to step out of that boat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just don't step out of a boat in the middle of a storm. But Peter was ready. He was willing to do the crazy for God. And he stepped out of the boat, and you know what he did? He walked on water. Have you ever walked on water? Oh. And so here's the thing, guys. When God tells us to do something, no matter how crazy it sounds, God is there to support us in that. And he lets us walk on water sometimes. He allows us to do the impossible sometimes, and we see God do some amazing things in our lives, but we have to be ready to step out of the boat. See, are you ready to step out of the boat at the drop of a hat when God says go? See, we've got to think of ourselves as on a mission. We got to have that mission trip mindset to where whatever has to be done, let's do it. I mean, I don't care if it's below my pay grade or whatever we like to say. You know, we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. And so when it comes to the kingdom of God and sharing the gospel, we need to be willing. When we're shopping at Walmart and God says, hey, go minister to that person, we drop everything. But my milk might ruin. Who cares? They got more. Go. Do it. Be ready to step out of the boat. Be on mission. Be ready to step out when it's time. See, we got to learn to stretch our comfort zones. See, we live in so many different comfort zones here in America, you know, and everything is meant for our comfort. Even our vehicles now have like heated seats. I drove a car that had air-conditioned seats. It was the weirdest thing, like some air like blowing up out of your seat, like, whoo, hey, like I wet myself or something. I don't know what's going on here, but it was really cool after a while, you know, in the summer. But everything is built for our comfort. See, we need to be willing to get rid of our comfort zone and just be like, okay, God, let's do it. Let's do this thing. And so my first thought out of this is we need to be willing to minister when God says go. Another thing that stood out to me in this is that Peter stepped out of the boat. He stepped out in faith, and he walked on water. But see, he began to look at the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. And he said, save me, Lord. And Jesus reached down and grabbed him and pulled him back up. Don't you know Peter walked on water a second time? Because he had to walk back to the boat, didn't he? Ever think about that? I never thought about that. Just now thought about that. He walked on water twice because he walked back to the boat on water. And the Bible says when they got into the boat, the storm ceased. The winds quit. And they worshiped God in that moment. See, along the way, along this journey that we're taking in faith, along this mission trip that we're on, sometimes a brother or sister is going to fall. They're going to fail. What's going to be your reaction to that? Are you going to be like Jesus when they're calling out for help to reach down and help them? Or are you going to look at them and say, like, I told you so. I told you not to do that. I'll be praying for you, brother. Are we willing to reach out and help our brothers and sisters when they fail? See, we're so quick to crucify someone who has fallen. We're so quick to point out the mistakes that they have made. And this is so true on the grand scale when you see a big-name pastor or ministry leader fail. What begins to happen? The bloggers and the social media begin to light up with criticism about how awful that is. And what are they going to do? Instead of running to their aid to help them. See, in our lives, we're going to have brothers and sisters fall around us. Are you going to have the heart of Jesus and reach out to help them? Or are you just going to look at them and say, sorry, I told you. You shouldn't have done that. What's going to be our heart towards people who fall? Are we going to crucify them? Are we going to kick them while they're down? See, the Bible tells us in John 13:35, people will know that you're my disciples because what? You love each other. See, the whole heart of Jesus and the heart of the church is to not to, you know, to have the best come and the ones who are perfect to lead. That's not the point of the church, but the point of the church is for us all to come together and do this life together and do this journey together and help each other out along the way. Because one day your brother might fall and you have the choice to help them. The next day it might be you. How do you want them to respond to you? Because we all fall. We all fail. We all fall short of the glory of God. Do you want to be surrounded with people who are reaching down to help you back up? Then you need to do that for other people. You need to be willing to do that for other people. When they fall back into that addiction, don't abandon them. Don't kick them out of the church. But reach out and say, hey, we're here for you. Come on. We got this. Because let me tell you something. Jesus could have let Peter sink. He could have. And think of how much we would have missed out on the rest of Peter's life on that. But see, each and every person has a calling from God. Each and every person has something to do for the kingdom. And each person that falls and we ignore that they fail and they slip away is someone else who's not doing their thing for the kingdom of God. See, it takes all of us working together to make it happen. And so I believe that we need to be reaching out and helping each other. Galatians 6, 1, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. But be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help somebody, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important." Oh, that kind of hurts, doesn't it? That hurts. But listen, it doesn't say reach out to them and scold them the whole way back up. "I told you not to do that. You don't need to be in the gym." But it says gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. You grab that hand and bring them back. It says share each other's burdens. See, as we wrap up this series on the Great Commission and sharing our faith, you know, I was like, I need that one scripture that kind of sums it all up, or that one story or something. And I believe that in Romans chapter 12, we find that scripture that sums up what we've been talking about in this series. Romans 12, 1, it says, "So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you." He didn't say, "I'm asking you, I'm suggesting." He said, "I plead with you, I beg you, to give your bodies to God because of all that He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable." Wow. I plead with you. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. I've heard so many people, "I'm ready to die for Christ." Well, are you ready to live for Him? Because you're more useful living for Christ than you are dying for Christ. So let's be willing to live for Him now while we can do something on this earth and affect people's lives, instead of just be willing to die for Him. He says, "Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him." Guys, if we're truly worshiping, we're not just singing songs. We're not just lifting our hands. We're not just... it's a whole person thing. It's our body. It's our soul. It's our spirit. It's all of us. We're laying it on the altar before God and saying, "God, whatever it is you want me to do, God, I'm ready. You tell me and I'll go." Whether that be go to Africa, go to Honduras, or go to Walmart, send me, Lord. Here I am. I'm ready and I'm willing. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. That's what we've been talking about, checking our attitudes when it comes to sharing the gospel with people. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I love this because there's so many people that ask, "What is God's will for my life? What is it that God has for me?" And that's a question that I believe every Christian should be asking. But you know how you find out what that is? You won't know until you offer your body a living sacrifice to Him. When you truly give it all to Him and say, "God, I put away my comfort. God, I put away my 5-year plan. God, tell me what to do." And then you'll find out what the will of God is for you. I love this in the Message. I think this sums it up real nicely. He said, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." See, lots of times we want to take our Sunday morning and place it as an offering to God. That's not what God's asking for. He wants your everyday, ordinary life. You're going to work, you're being at home. Every part of you, place it before Him as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Now listen to this. Instead, number one, fix your attention on God. We got to focus on Him. I mean, laser-pointed focus on God. Number two, you will be changed from the inside out. Number three, readily recognize what He wants from you. And number four, quickly respond to it. I believe that should be the life of the Christian, is that we're fixing our attention on God. Okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? And I believe as we're focused on Him, He'll come in and He'll change our hearts. He'll change our lives. He'll give us His desires. He'll help us to see people as He sees people. All the things that we talked about in this series, as far as getting rid of our prejudice and stuff, He'll change us from the inside out. Number three, it says, readily recognize what He wants from you, and then quickly respond to it. See, I believe that when we have our focus on Him, we're on mission for God, that we will recognize when God speaks to us, and we're sitting on ready for Him to say go. And I believe this is how we need to live life. And it's not always comfortable and easy, and it doesn't always fit in the way we want to do things. But here's the thing, there's people's lives and souls at stake. Are you willing to sacrifice your comfort, your plans, and your goals to accomplish something for God? Because people need you. People need you to be living for God. Because people are hurting and people are lost, and you have the answer. Why are you hoarding it up for yourself? Why are you hiding it beneath layers and layers of comfort and stubbornness and attitudes when God wants us to freely give His love to other people? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? See, I wanted to encourage you today and get you ready, because I believe that God has a plan for you today. He has something for you to do today. And I dare you to pray this prayer. God, use me today for your glory. Show me someone I need to minister to. Because you know what? He'll answer that prayer. But are you ready? Are you ready to step out in faith? Are you ready to step out of the boat and trust in God and do what He's asked you to do? Father, we love you today. God, thank you. God, thank you that you saw value in us enough to send Jesus to the cross to pay the price for our sin. God, thank you for that sacrifice. Thank you for investing in us. God, I just pray that, God, you just help us to remember that we're on mission for you, God, that life is not about me, but it's all about Jesus and what you want me to do for your glory. God, help me to be ready for when you whisper in my ear, go, that I quickly respond. And I'm willing to minister to somebody, the hurting, the broken, God, those who need your love. Father, thank you for using us as the broken vessels that we are, the messed up, the goofed up, the addicted, God, that you still want to use us. You see us as worthy. God, use us this week for your glory. We love you in Jesus' name. Can we all stand today to worship? We have a new song for you today that I believe that's going to touch your heart today.